Chapter 2. Owen. As the meeting adjourns, pandemonium breaks out. Boris makes his way over to Thel with Sturgis in tow, still protesting the Protector's decision. A dozen other conversations start up around us, filling the vaulted room with the echoing sound of urgent voices, along with the squealing noises of chair legs rubbing across the stone. Pushing my own seat back, I stand and glance over at Zara, who gives me a quizzical look. She must have known about the letter, I think, shrugging. Strange that the High Magus would reach out to Thel without first contacting Zara. She immediately rushes over to the Protector's side, interrupting Boris and asking if she can examine the message. After a few minutes, she returns, her expression troubled. "It's her seal," she says, coming to stand by Talon and me. "And as far as I can tell, it's her handwriting. But why wouldn't she inquire about my whereabouts?" "I was wondering the same thing," I reply. "Maybe she wrote directly to Thel for diplomatic reasons." "Maybe," she says, unconvinced. "At any rate, it seems as though we'll be leaving these mountains after all. I can't say I'm disappointed." Talon curses under his breath, favoring his still wounded arm. His hand had been cut off at the wrist during the battle and is now tightly wrapped in a thick layer of bandages. "Just once," he remarks in annoyance. "I'd like to stay in one place and relax. Instead, I get to sleep in a tent and live outside in the cold." "You're a ranger's apprentice, Tal," I reply, smirking. "Living outside is part of the deal." He rolls his eyes, and together we make our way to the exit. Zara falls in beside me, blue robes swishing with every step.
"In case you hadn't noticed, mate, things have gotten a little out of hand for me lately. I haven't had a proper master teaching me for months."
"Out of hand?" I ask, raising an eyebrow. "Did you just make a pun about having only one hand?"
"Oh, light," Zara groans. "That's awful."
Talon grins.
"What can I say? I thought I'd try my hand at a little comedy."
Zara shakes her head as we step out into the hall. Attendants run to and fro around us, spreading news of Thel's decision for the majority of their army to leave Dunmar City. The Citadel is practically buzzing with anxiety.
"Thank goodness the Protector is willing to treat with the mages," she says softly, lowering her voice. "I was worried they were going to hole up in this cave for the winter and let the rest of the world face the demons on their own."
"It's going to cause quite a stir," I reply, resting a hand in my belt and feeling the comfortable weight of my father's hatchet. "There's still thousands of soldiers in the Nightingale's army. Hopefully the king doesn't think it's an invasion."
"That pompous git will probably want to attack as soon as we leave the mountains," Talon says.
Then his face turns into a worried frown.
"Seriously, though, what do you think he'll do now that the rangers and mages have turned on him?"
"He'll probably have no choice but to abdicate the throne," Zara replies. "The High Magus will no doubt pressure him politically to make peace with the Nightingales. That, combined with the fact that his impromptu attack of Dunmar City was probably not sanctioned by the kingdom's elites, should be enough to sway him. I hope it is, anyway."
"If not," I say, continuing her line of thought, "we're all going to be in deep trouble." The three of us fall silent, our footsteps echoing loudly in the stark hallway. Each of us has seen the reports that have come in from the Nightingale scouts. Demonic monsters seemingly roam the land, attacking travelers and villagers all throughout Tarsinium. The Ark is weakening, and the threat that poses should now be apparent to everyone. As we step out of the portcullis, the noise of the city envelops us. Everywhere we look, people are working and bustling about.
"This is their home," I think, looking out over the enormous cavern. "They're not going to be happy that most of their protection is leaving them behind to fend for themselves."
Already, missives are being sent out, criers declaring the Protector's decision to the populace.
"I need to go to the Cabal," Zara says, pausing on the road leading into the city. "There are hundreds of books and scrolls there that may be important in the coming days. I'll need to comb through them to see what should be packed."
She glances over at me and gives me a rueful grin.
"I won't put you through the torture of helping me look through dusty old books." Letting out a breath of relief, I return her smile. Thanks for that.
Well, I suppose I'd better start packing, Talon says with a grunt. We've got another long journey in front of us, and I plan on riding comfortably in the back of a wagon the whole way.
I'd better go with him, I say, glancing over at my fellow apprentice. He might need me to lend a hand.
Ha! Talon laughs. Now you're getting it.
Zara rolls her eyes, then stands on her tiptoes, giving me a quick peck on the cheek.
See you soon.
Sitting on the flat-topped roof of our living quarters, Talon and I watch as the denizens of Dunmar City hurry about, readying the troops for the long march to the Heartlands. As I suspected, most aren't happy about the army abandoning their city. Protesters gather outside the citadel as Nightingale leaders attempt to placate them, shouting to be heard over the crowds. It takes a few hours to calm the masses, but eventually the disgruntled ones retreat to their homes, and the necessary preparations begin to be made. Wagons are pulled into the streets and loaded with grain, barley, and all manner of provisions that have been brought out from the depths of the fortress.
"Folk are going to think it's a bloody invasion," Talon remarks, watching as a group of black-clad soldiers tread past on the street below. "All these armies marching about. It's like war is consuming the entire kingdom."
"It is, in a way," I reply, following his gaze. "If the Ralar break through, it'll affect everyone." He shrugs, pulling the cork out of a bottle of wine with his teeth and taking a draft.
"Let's just hope the king sees it that way."
I frown, but otherwise don't respond. King Aethelgar is a problem. The Nightingales, Rangers, and Mages may unite themselves, but without the support of the king, Tarsinium will remain fractured. Even if the noble houses rise up in revolt against Aethelgar, the king still holds the capital, the greatest and most prosperous city in the land.
Zara's wrong. That man will never give up his throne. Can this new alliance pressure him enough to join us?
I chew my lip in consternation as I quietly wonder.
And if he does join us, how can we be sure he won't just stab us in the back again?
Sighing, I lean back on my elbows and peer up at the dusky roof of the cavern.
Another problem for another day. These things are for the High Magus and the Protector to decide, not a ranger's apprentice.
For now, it feels good to simply slow down, to pause while the rest of the world goes mad. Taking a deep breath, I close my eyes and continue to let my mind wander.
"There you are. What in the light are you two doing up there?"
Tamara's terse voice snaps me out of my contemplation. Jolting upright, I lean forward and look back down at the street, my stomach dropping. The Master Warden stands below with her hands on her hips, her mouth a tight line of displeasure, and her eyes boring into us like knives.
"Just grabbing a breather,"
Talon casually replies, trying unsuccessfully to hide the wine bottle from her view.
"We thought we might rest a little before leaving the city."
"And why are you just lazing about when there's still plenty of work to be done?"
"Our things are already packed,"
he answers, flashing her a disarming smile.
"What else is there to do?"
I elbow him in the side and get to my feet, my cheeks flushing with embarrassment.
"Apologies, Master Warden. We'll get to helping out right away."
She nods, her expression remaining stern as ever. Talon and I go to the trap door in the roof and make our way inside, moving quickly so as to not further draw Tamara's ire. The days following the siege have seemingly put her on edge, and despite the strange circumstances of the recent months, the two of us are still apprentices, the lowest rank among the Rangers. More than anyone, we are expected to follow orders. Stepping outside, we find the Master Warden waiting for us, her arms now crossed and her posture indicating her impatience.
"And where's Elias, anyway? If I remember correctly, he's still your master, Owen."
I point sheepishly toward the citadel.
"He gave us the day and said he needed to take care of some things. I think he's meeting with Boris and the Protector."
Her eyes narrow.
"Take care of some things?"
She sniffs and shakes her head irritably.
"Isn't that what got him into trouble in the first place?"
I don't reply. Sighing, she relaxes somewhat, the tension in her shoulders easing.
At any rate, it's good I found you. I needed to speak with you before we left the city. As you heard during the meeting, the Rangers will be returning with the prisoners to the Ashwood. We will accompany the Nightingales for the first part of the journey.
I nod, still surprised by the Master Warden's decision to take the King's men. Talon shrugs.
That's as good as any place, I suppose.
Yes, she replies dryly, but that's what I wanted to speak with you about. The two of you won't be coming with us.
I start. What?
Both of you and a small contingent of Rangers will be staying with the Nightingales as they broker this alliance with the High Magus. We need to maintain a presence with our new allies, and your ties to the Seeker and experience with the demons may prove invaluable.
With all due respect, Master Warden, Talon says, shouldn't you be staying as well? You're our leader, after all.
She hesitates before responding.
I have other matters that I must attend to at the Grand Lodge. I'll be going with the Rangers.
A sinking feeling enters the pit of my stomach. Will Elias remain with the Nightingales? I ask the question, already knowing the answer. She shakes her head.
No, I'll be taking him with us.
That can mean only one thing, then, I think, blanching. A disciplinary hearing. He'll be judged before all the wardens for breaking his oath. 11 hells, they might actually execute him. Tamara seems to sense my unease. Her expression softens, and she gives me a sympathetic look.
This alliance is important, she says, changing the subject after a brief pause. There's never been anything like this before in the history of Tarsinium. Rangers siding with mages and rebels against the throne. It is our duty to the realm to ensure that everything goes well. I expect both of you to do everything you can to support our cause and properly represent the Rangers.
Talon nudges me and gives her a confident grin.
You can count on us. We won't let you down.
She eyes him skeptically before giving us a nod.
All right, then. As I said, there's still plenty of work to be done. Go find Warden Yvette outside. She's coordinating the baggage train to carry our supplies home.
Yes, Master Warden, we reply in unison. Then, together, we head off, leaving in the opposite direction of Tamara, who makes her way toward the Citadel. My heart feels heavy as we go to the cavern's exit, my mind on Elias and the fate that may await him in the Ashwood. It seems we've only barely come to terms with his past, reconciling our relationship as master and apprentice. Now, after everything that's happened, we're being separated again, this time perhaps for good. Talon, recognizing my contemplative state, abstains from pulling me into conversation, instead whistling quietly as we walk down the narrow streets. It isn't all bad, I think, trying to force myself to see the light. There's a chance they could absolve him of everything. It would be pretty stupid to condemn him for being one of our newfound allies. Still, rules are rules, and the Nightingales were our enemies long before they were our friends. Besides, nobody on Bahalia adheres to the letter of the law quite like the Rangers of Tarsinium. Taking a few deep breaths, I push away all other thoughts and focus on the here and now. Like the Master Warden said, there's work to be done. There's no point in dwelling on things outside of my control. At least I'll have Zara and Talon by my side through all of this, I think, smiling faintly. They'll help me through whatever comes, one way or another.